The Bermuda Triangle, a 500,000 square mile area that is associated with a number of mysterious disappearances and paranormal activity. Set at the southernmost vertex is the island nation of Puerto Rico. Long referred to by historians as the oldest colony in the Americas, claimed for Spain by Christopher Columbus on his second voyage in 1493. Columbus had his own mysterious UFO sightings within the Bermuda Triangle just 1 year earlier, recorded in his very own ship's logs. Fast forward to modern day, and Puerto Rico is a vital partner in the exploration of our universe with the world's second largest radio telescope. With a history of mysterious phenomenon and strange creatures being sighted within the El Yunque National Forest, Puerto Rico is also the setting of one of the most compelling UFO sightings ever to be caught on video.
Únete a los teóricos, porque en esta situación, aquí un gato encerrado con el ovni de Aguadilla.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 145 Aguadilla UFO. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Just a little pre-warning here.
Oh no.
I've taken a lethal mix of back medication and alcohol, and I'm really feeling it already.
You can't open both your eyes at one time.
Let's get a zoom.
One or the other.
Yeah. Someone screenshot that quick. Both. Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
It's going. I mean, I can't even tell that you're trying to make funny faces right now. It just looks normal.
No, I feel it. All of a sudden, I had one drink and I was like, "Whoa, what is going on?" I was like, "I thought I had back in Thailand, had a mystery chang," and then I was like, "Oh, the back medication. I probably shouldn't have been mixing that." But I'm like, man, I feel good.
You're committed.
Ask me how my back is.
How's your back?
I don't know.
Do I even have a back?
Yeah. It's all a frame of mind, my friend. All a frame of mind. Let's get into some space news before I'm too drunk.
What do we got?
We got some... There was a ring of fire solar eclipse over the weekend. There was a band, you could see it from at West Africa to the Arabian Peninsula.
There you go.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
India and the Far East, they saw this wicked ring of fire solar eclipse. Zell, I don't know if you have a picture that you can post so everyone can see. Some wicked images coming from that.
Yep. Also known as an annular solar eclipse.
Anal.
I had one.
Are you posting? I can't see that. We can't see the stream, so I can't tell if you're
can't see the stream?
Throwing it up there.
Motherfuckers.
No.
Nope.
I've figured that out before.
I mean, I'm looking at the YouTube.
No, I still can't.
I don't know why. I don't know why I can't fucking see
I don't see you, Zell.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it's not coming up.
That's all good.
Did you take some back pills, too? What's going on?
I took some. Yeah, you could call it a back joint.
You tell. A back pill. Back a pill. Joint pill?
Joint pill. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I don't know why. Why can't we fucking see that? It's bullshit. It's like showing us an old screen of mine. Yeah, well, you can't see it on the live stream. That's on sciencealert.com. You can check it out. It's pretty sweet.
Well, this is going to make the next one lackluster too, but a spectacular fireball was caught in Australia. An expert don't know what it was. This was in June 19th, 2020. I don't know if you guys watched the video of this, it was actually wild because it looked like a meteor just if you were playing in slow motion. Did you guys catch the clip of it?
Yeah, it's
a wicked little, like, just boom, like little slow little green ball of fire, you know, Green Lantern shooting through the sky.
It's being filmed, 17 second video of it. It's filmed through like a bunch of street lamps and stuff on a cell cam, so the focus isn't good. But yeah, it looks like it's going... pretty slow, but I guess it's who knows how far the distance is of that. But it didn't hit the ground, right?
No, it doesn't seem so. Didn't seem like it.
Was it Hal Jordan? Was it
just John Stewart?
Was it Simon Baz?
Guy Gardner.
Guy Gardner? No, he's the worst. Isn't he a Red Lantern now?
No, he went back.
Did he go back? Okay. Yeah.
It's a really weird video though, because of just the speed. When you watch it, you're like, this looks like a shooting star or a meteor, but just so slow. I watched it a whole bunch of times. I was just mind-boggled.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we got tons of people sending videos and posting the stuff up on our Facebook page. It was pretty neat, popping up all that stuff. The people who did see it or observed it, even like astronomers and people in that area, sky watchers, like nobody's really sure 100% what it was, like whether it was a meteor or a fireball. There were some people are slinging around theories that it was a piece of space junk or something like that. I think they ruled that specific case out of it being a piece of space junk because it mostly seems to stay intact. If it were like a satellite or something, you'd see more pieces kind of
blowing off it.
Yeah, coming off and burning up.
I mean, it's quite obviously a Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Which one, we don't really know.
We're not sure yet. Green Lantern.
That, honestly, watching that video, that's the only thing that could make sense to me.
Yeah.
It's not moving fast enough to be anything like falling from Earth. It's like it looks like a huge fireball just slow rolling through the sky.
Right. That's what a Green Lantern looks like.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, the last thing I have for space news, new calculations hint that there could be at least 36 alien civilizations in our galaxy.
Woo! Whopping 36.
Advanced civilizations. Advanced life. What was it? Advanced civilizations?
Right.
Yeah, well, so they went on the conservative route of the same way that Earth developed life. So like they say like 4.5 to 5 billion years, they took that and they divided by the amount of stars, how much they think are within the habitable zone. And they come up with the currently, if you're to take into consideration only the way that we think we got here, about 36.
All right. Well, I'll make a, is this NASA making these?
NASA.
No, it's Christopher Consolis or something.
Astrophysicist Christopher Consolis.
I'll wager him. I'll take his 36, and I'll say my guess 37. Boom! Price is Right rules, baby.
Well, buddy, I told low. Go one.
Yeah, I'm gonna bet a dollar, Bob. I'm gonna bet a dollar.
Yeah.
You're gonna bet one civilization?
Yeah, but you're all gonna bet over, so then I win
with
one.
Yeah. Underneath.
I win with one.
Yeah, but you block him, you get you're infinite above him.
I don't know.
What'd you say? 37? 38. Boom.
Oh, fuck. Boom. damn it. The classic. Yes. The classic.
Yes.
Anyways. Anyway. I thought it was a little low, to be honest, with the vastness of space and how big our galaxy is. I thought it was a low number.
How do you come up to that? How do you come to that number? How do you just like, math? Yeah, that's what I think.
No, that's what I said. They went with the how we think that Earth came to advanced life. Like, we live on a rocky planet and so far from our sun. So they're in 4.5 or 5 billion years. So they took that, the conservative value of that got you 36. And it's called the astrobiological Copernican limit.
Well, listen, the Craig limit says 37.
Craig.
This guy got hired. This guy's got hired to do this job specifically. This was his one goal. And he 100% fucking Costanza'd it. Sat in his office for fucking months, didn't do fuck all, and they come up to him. And they're like, "All right, buddy, what's the number?" And he pulled 36 right out of his ass.
That's all this. That was a lot of fancy words.
There's definitely a lot more math involved in that.
It might be a little
everybody
more.
Everybody bought it.
That's the.
Well, I get it. He added the flux capacitor with the fucking infinity gauntlet and got the number. It's whoopty fucking dude.
Yeah, maybe he did.
I'm not fact checking him, to be honest. I'm not checking his math. So.
Anyways, people say like, well, if there's other advanced civilizations, why haven't we heard from them? And they say, if you were to scatter these out over our galaxy, at the very minimum, there's at least 17,000 light years apart. So until you can somehow send signals through some type of subspace faster than light, we would not know yet, probably.
It sounds like a lot of rocket appliances to me.
A little bit.
All right.
It's pretty cool.
Let's get, anyone else got space news? That's all I had.
That's space news over for the week.
All right, let's get into some UFO talk. Aguadilla, UFO.
Aguadilla.
Aguadilla, not Aguadilla.
Aguadilla.
I thought it was like quesadilla.
Puerto Rico.
Quesadilla?
No. What? That's not even how you say quesadilla.
That's not how you say quesadilla? We do dia?
No.
How do you spell it, Dan?
What do you, like, spell what?
Spell quesadilla.
Quesadilla.
Q-U-E-S-A-D-I-L-L-A.
L-L-A-I-L-L-A?
But L-L-L-L is L-A, which is an actual letter.
Dilla Dilla Bills, y'all. Yeah.
So says you, Daniel. I guess we'll take
so
your
says
word
everybody
for
who
it.
Speaks the Spanish language.
Aguadilla. What is it?
Aguadilla.
Aguadilla. Well, UFO.
We'll have to take your word for it because I've always pronounced it Dilla. Same with tortilla. Not the good, not good.
Case.
You guys say jalapenos too?
Jalapenos, like, tortillas, quesadillas. Not good? Yeah,
I got to plug this in. 145 Aguadilla UFO. So now you can plug that into the start so I don't seem like an idiot.
Perfect.
Just cover it up all the times you said Aguadilla.
I'm sticking with it.
So we're taking this UFO case, which is a relatively recent UFO case, and Zell will pull up a video. It also has a nice visual component to it. This comes from, most of what we know about this UFO comes from an infrared video, which was shot by a U.S. Customs Border Protection aircraft. This took place on April 25th of, like I said, 2013, and it was about 9:20 p.m. at the local time. So the pilots of this craft said that they had identified what looked like to be a type of like a reddish lit object that was moving, seemed to be moving at a low altitude. When they tracked it, it flew directly across what is Rafael Hernandez Airport runway. And it actually caused, when it was investigated, there was an actual cause for delays of aircraft in that area, at least 10 minutes.
Right.
When it was looked into, it was investigated, this craft gave off no transponder signal. It was about, like, they've got about like 3 minutes of video of this object.
Transponder's like your aircraft identity beacon kind of thing, or?
Yeah.
Is that so that thing that goes in a circle and goes beep?
That's radar, beep. I think.
Yeah.
Oh. That is radar.
That would be radar.
So says you.
No, the transponder is the thing that kind of like talks to the,
like, it's always pinging the station that tells, like, this is aircraft FF or WF 1013 or whatever.
Oh, GPS, basically.
They said that this object was observed to have crossed what is like the north. It's Aguadilla is actually located in the northwestern part of Puerto Rico, kind of like on the northwestern tip. And it went across the airport twice, and then it actually return to the Atlantic Ocean, which they believe that the origin of this craft was from the ocean, because in the video you can clearly see how it actually, at one point, what makes it another really interesting case is that this craft is seen going underwater, like it enters the water and then exits again with seemingly, when they actually analyzed it frame by frame, it actually looks like it accelerates underwater.
Yeah. Yes, crazy.
And then comes out near the same speed or a little bit faster.
And we're talking, like, we're talking 10 rating on the Olympic scale for diving, like no splash,
barely a ripple.
Just perfect.
Barely a ripple. Yeah, so that's pretty much the overview, and we're going to take a quick break on the live stream because I got to pull up the video because this is a very based on this visual. So, we're going to be back in just a second. No, okay, we're back.
Tech issues
fixed. Back on the stream.
Technically difficult.
Okay, so this is the video of the tortilla UFO.
It's quesadilla, but whatever.
Okay, you got if you're listening to the podcast, we've got a infrared camera from what's like some type of twin prop, like surveillance plane, right?
Yeah, it is specifically, it is a de Havilland Canada DHC-8 turboprop aircraft.
Right. So this guy is trying
it's belly mounted, I believe. So they are watching it. Now, when they started tracking it on the infrared after they had lost sight of it. So they had first seen it as like a red, some sort of like red light, fast moving light.
Yep.
But then it kind of, when it hit the shore, or they said when it arrived over land or it reached the actual land, like it disappeared. So then they turned on they caught it on the infrared, and then they tracked it with that.
Yeah.
So the plane is actually up in the air at this point, and it is flying, and it is following this. Like, it's flying in its like patrol pattern, and it is following this aircraft.
Well, it looks like it's clipping along pretty good at a pretty good pace. I mean, I can't run that fast.
Right. Yeah,
they said it was going about 100, just over 100 miles an hour.
Right. I think said it's somewhere like the speeds when they went back and looked at it and they tracked it, traced it by frame, matching it up against with actual, landmarks in the background that can be identified, trees, things like that. I think they said the speeds that it was traveling at varied between about 40 to 120 miles per hour.
They're still targeting it. On the screen, it's going from right to left across the screen on the video. And it seems to be going like more or less constant in speed, maybe seeming to be changing to like altitude slightly, going down towards the water. Now they've zoomed in. Now you're closer. It's a little grainier, but it's definite something on the screen. And then there it goes under the water, seems to go under the water, still traveling. And then some people say it almost seems like it splits under the water and then comes back up. But right now it's still under the water.
Right. When it comes out, it seems to almost split into two at some time. It either splits into two, or some people, when they observed the video, some people say that they actually saw two craft. Like, it was actually like another one either appeared
right
or
there. Oh, boom. Came. On the video there. Oh, yeah. It definitely looks like there's two craft. There's two infrared spots.
Right. Two separate spots. Like,
separate
there are
spots.
Two very separate, distinct things.
And then one seems to almost go back under the water. Now there seems to be one again.
Right.
And it seems to be like, it kind of looks like it's almost hopping in and out of the water sometimes, and then goes under.
Yeah, it's like dipping in and out.
And now they've lost it. It's under the water. You can't see it on the screen. They've seemed to have lost it. They zoom in.
One of the things that kind of, like, yeah, that's really crazy to see, and I've never seen anything like that before. But the other staggering thing about this video for me was all the commentary of the pilots. Because these are all professional pilots, and they're shitting their pants watching this too. Like, they have absolutely no idea what that thing is.
Well, the thing I liked about this video too, and one of the markers just went by, is that when I first watched it, I thought, I was like, I couldn't gauge it how either big or small these things were. And I was like, oh, maybe it's really small. But then later on in the video, you see what appears to be a couple of vehicles drive past. And I'm like, oh, these things, whatever this is like as big as one of those vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah. So now the video is pretty much, that's it.
From what they could tell, or they said, there was a really in-depth analysis, done by the Center for Scientific Ufology, I believe. It's called, sorry. Yeah. Scientific Coalition of Ufology. The SCU, and they did a really big workup on this actual video. They took the video, took it apart frame by frame and going through it, looking for the hallmarks of whether this is a hoax, whether this infrared image could have been anything, looking for explanations as to what this was. The group that worked on it, they submitted FOIA requests to the United States Air Force 84th, like, radar division that had a station on the island itself and like was responsible for that area, for that exact time frame. They said that, they couldn't get that from the from them. They didn't want to, it's classified information, so they weren't able to divulge that and give it out in a FOIA request. What I did find that was kind of interesting was that they also made a FOIA request for the airport control tower logs, the Rafael Hernandez airport traffic control tower. What they told them was, like, they can't have those because those logs, first of all, they were destroyed. also they were destroyed 90 days after the event. Also, those logs are maintained by a private company, so they contract out those logs. And that the comp, but the, yeah, not the fact that they were destroyed, but the fact that's interesting is like when they asked, you know, those people who were working there and knew about it, they knew about the event.
Yeah.
Like they knew what they were referring to, but they didn't want to talk about it. They declined to be interviewed or to give any testimony to the investigators.
As a fellow, top secret government employee, I'd be, it's one of those things where, were they reluctant or were they just like, were they not allowed to talk to the press? So it's not like they were reluctant, and I'm just being devil's advocate here, but maybe they were just like, I don't want to talk. I can't talk about, I can't make any comment. Not that they didn't want to, but for their job, they weren't allowed to, address the press. Perhaps
probably one of those things like 2013. I mean, UFOs were probably still like, if in that profession, if you started talking about them, you probably just get maybe still laughed at a bit. Whereas now, within the last, ever since those like those that
yeah, look
what's,
at
the,
us.
What's that one the ATIP program and all the other declassified stuff, people are starting to take like especially these type of settings with military like video more seriously. So probably now it probably happens. Like if it starts happening more and more, I think you'll see these people probably talk more about it because the ridicule would be much lower.
I don't know, man. If I get caught on camera at work, I have to buy everybody I'm working with a case of beer. And that's just not something. You avoid PR like the plague.
This case is also interesting. The fact that you do actually have so many witnesses. So from the report, most of the stuff that they worked off of was from like two witnesses that remained anonymous that worked for the Customs and Border Patrol. That's, they said that actually one of them was the pilot. And then one of them might've been another person on that plane. I think it's like a 4-man crew. You have like the pilot, co-pilot, and then you have the two, you have two guys that work in the radar stuff in the back and the infrared.
Right.
They're not the only ones who saw it. They said that there was another pilot, another Customs and Border Patrol pilot that was east of the base. And it was actually on their way back to the airport about 15 to 30 minutes before they actually saw it. The other plane saw it, the one that caught it on the infrared. And they said that the officer in that plane witnessed an actual formation of these pinkish red lights.
Oh,
so
shit.
It was not just like one. There was a couple of them, and it seemed to be moving in a type of like flying horseshoe
flying V
craft.
Probably a flying V. Ducks.
So, ducks. My ducks. Quack, quack,
yeah.
Quack, quack.
But actually, though, like, I bet you these guys aren't allowed to talk to the press and stuff like that, right? Like, they all have a PR person that does all their talking for them. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of step out your bounds and start talking to the media, you're getting big shit. And that's like any types of government job.
Yeah, right? It's probably heavy. It might not be like illegal, but it'd be heavily frowned upon, I'm sure.
Oh, buddy, you'd be getting pulled in for a meeting for sure.
Yeah.
Like, for example, with my A-level clearance, and that's EH level clearance.
That's top. Yeah, that's top in Canada for sure.
Top Canada, A-level. A-level security clearance. I'm given a little card. So just if when someone's like, hey, would you care to comment? I go, I will comment by handing you this card that says I'm not allowed to talk to media and you should direct all media questions to this phone number on this card. And that's it. Like, and you're basically told, like, if you break, we'll revoke your A card immediately.
If you've always wondered how like Canada's top secret agencies work, you've just been informed.
A to Z.
Yeah. I mean, other than Braden, I think Shatner's got the only other A card. Like,
it's pretty hard to get. Exclusive list.
There's a couple of us. There's a couple of us. It's no big deal. It's
Rick Moranis, too, maybe.
Yeah.
Geddy Lee.
Rick Moranis.
Geddy Lee on there?
Geddy Lee's
on
there.
He can't keep a secret.
No rock and rollers. Come on now.
No rock and rollers.
Gord Downey would have been on there.
Gord Downey was, yeah.
Yeah, but maybe he talked to somebody.
That's true. R.I.P. Gord. So let's go, because there's a lot of stuff in this that, like, it's actually, as far as UFO reports go, this has got to be one of the more thorough ones of modern times. Like, this thing.
Oh, it's absolutely
deep. It's deep, and it's pretty convincing on like their findings. Like let's go through all the stuff on like the video. So let's start with a thermal image.
Mm-hmm.
So they like pretty much concluded that it seems that whatever this is emitting more heat than the ambient air, means it's some type of heat source involved. Some type of propulsion or something.
Right. So they're not even sure because, the thermal doesn't indicate that there is like a concentration of heat. Like normally you would get with either, you know, like a jet or a propeller combustion engine of some sort.
Yep.
You don't have that. The more or less it is like a uniform, heat, a thermal signature. So it's not,
it's like an aura
and it's, yeah, and it's the thermal signature, I think they said, is somewhere around like 108 degrees like Fahrenheit. I don't know if I put that in the notes specifically, but it's definitely like if you thought it was like a balloon or something, it's not because it's too hot. Like
yeah.
It doesn't move that. Another thing that they remarked was that
this. Who thought that was a fucking a little kid's rogue balloon they let go? Is that a leading theory?
Dude, we're going to get to the theories at the end, There's one theory.
We'll get into the theories.
The way it moves, it's like, out of here. It's like when you fucking blow up one of those balloons and you don't tie it and you hold it, you kind of let it go. It zips around. That's the only explanation it could be.
Yeah, if you had sound with the thermal video, that's what you would hear. You'd hear the little
yep.
But yeah, you don't have any of the what would be, you know, easily identifiable as some sort of propulsion source. It's just uniform heat. And they said, and from what they observe, it seems like the thing actually gets hotter when it goes under the water.
Yeah, that's crazy. So we have, so the first thing they come through is the thermal image.
I guess
image.
That would make sense for, hold on, let's just say if there is a propulsion, I imagine whatever this craft used for propulsion, you would need to use more of it under the water because there's more resistance. So it would make sense that it's giving off, it doesn't move as effortlessly through the water. So that makes sense to me logically that it would give off more heat in the water. It's working harder.
Yeah, so right?
maybe you should drink on painkillers more often. That was pretty.
That was insightful.
I'm impressed. Yeah, I'm like, I'm kind of startled.
Got some physics
in
there.
Thing you've ever said.
Let's see if he remembers it tomorrow.
Boys, I blacked out. How'd the case file go last night?
You're like, you insulted Gord Downie. I'll be like, oh no.
What have I done?
But yeah, that would make sense though. Yeah, if you're flying it with a certain amount of energy and you hit the water, you got to push a little harder, but you want to go the same speed, so you got to crank up the throttle.
Yeah.
So on the point of propulsion, what I came across when I was researching, one of the theories that popped out at me is that there, you know, if it is a UFO and it's some sort of advanced propulsion system, it would probably be something like what is referred to as like the Alcubierre drive. The Alcubierre drive is like a hypothetical propulsion that works off like Einstein's theory of relativity, where it's like if you can't travel this faster than the speed of light without turning into energy. So what a craft would do using this hypothetical method of propulsion is that you would basically contract space in front of you and then expand space in back of you,
behind you. That's what I do.
That's the Bob Lazar. That's the Bob Lazar claim. How they've pretty much fly those craft that he claims are in S4, Area 51.
Yeah. So it's like that's what some people are saying, that this craft might be, you know, that's the only reason that it would be able to move through the water so effortlessly. It's not moving.
Well,
it's not moving. Technically, it's not moving through the water. It's moving through the space.
It's like, falling. It's like, that's the theory. Is it the? It's not like so much anti-gravity, is it just like you're falling through space all the time, regardless of how much mass is around you. So it makes sense if you could fly through the air, you could fly through the water, you could fly through space.
Right.
So we have the thermal image, and then the radar. So the radar signatures show that it's going between, it changes speeds between 40 and 120 miles an hour. So it can't be natural. Right. Some people say like, oh, it's probably maybe it's a weather phenomenon or something, but it's changing speed, and it's changing speed quite drastically.
Changing speed and direction.
And direction.
As well.
That is some,
when they track it on the radar,
very, very tight circled swamp gas.
Dense.
That is some dense swamp gas.
That ball lightning can really fucking move. So, yeah, it is like the video is really convincing and it's really neat to watch. Like, it's really cool to talk about something where we have actual video evidence of it. And, you know, we don't usually get a lot of that.
No, not
a lot. It almost looks like a camera trick when you're watching it dip in and out of the water, because how it just disappears into the water, like it almost looks like a bad cut of like a, you guys know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's almost like an edit of a movie, like how it just, like a bad edit where it just like disappears.
This is a frame.
It's so effortlessly travels through that it almost, your eyes almost don't believe it right away. You're like, what's going on there? How is that doing that? And then later when you see it, like you clearly see one object turn to two. Clearly.
Well,
what do you think it is?
On the infrared, it definitely shows it. It definitely looks like it splits into two heat signatures.
Yeah, I guess because we're watching it on infrared, and there's no way that could be a reflection on the water.
They say it can't be a reflection because of just that. It like separates heat signatures. So,
I mean, when it's getting close to the water like that, though, like it definitely looks like a bird that's like fucking dive bombing into the water.
But not at that angle. Like how it doesn't go straight, because diving birds, like you'd see them go, like they'd go in and, you know, more than.
But like, you know, and like speed wise, I doubt a fucking bird can get up to 100, but a bird's got to be able to get at least up to like 70 or 80.
Peregrine falcon that bird can move, baby.
Yeah, but those are on
sure
dive.
Can get around like 70 or 80, but not.
He's not diving into the water.
No, like no falcons and like birds of prey can dive. Like I think a peregrine falcon can dive like something like 260 kilometers an hour or something crazy, but they can't.
120. Or whatever.
120 miles.
120?
Yeah.
120 miles per hour.
But that's a dive. They can't fly horizontally that fast. Hold on a second.
Yeah. 120 miles per hour?
Yeah.
Buddy. They're little torpedoes.
Fuck that. No,
no
way.
It's, oh, dude, it's even faster. The highest measured speed of a peregrine falcon is 389 kilometers, 242 miles per hour.
Whoa! Pardon fucking me?
That's a fast bird, man.
Okay, well.
But that bird's not diving into the water.
Listen, yeah. Well,
and that bird's not as big as a truck.
It's fucking case closed. Wonder Twin power, form of peregrine falcon, dive bombing in the water. They split, turn into fucking fish, and fucking go away.
And then just dolphin through the water?
Yeah. It's the Wonder Twins. Yeah. Case fucking closed. Easy peas.
It's, the thing is, I would say, like, early on in that video, I would say maybe bird. Maybe. You could definitely sell me early on in that video on a bird. But later on, especially when you're seeing it dip in and out of the water and the thermal image pulls back and you clearly see two vehicles drive past, that's when you realize you're like, oh shit, what I was just looking at is approximately the size of those vehicles. Like, it's not that small.
It seems like a definite craft.
What they estimate the craft size is about, I think they said 5 feet across is like what they're looking at when they compared it to kind of the back, you know, landmarks, again, objects like that are able to, there's able to see, identify in the background and foreground. They went to go ahead and estimate that is somewhere in the, like around 5 feet in diameter.
So it is, it's not like,
Between three and five feet.
It's not this craft. It's not the same size of other UFOs where like it was a 50-foot disc or it was a, it had a, it was 120-foot delta shape.
It was a floating mattress with pot lights.
But still, it's,
you guys laugh, but that's,
I mean, that's a common sight. That's about the size of the Great Kazoo.
Great Kazoo?
He's not a big guy.
But it clearly splits. That makes me think that there was one under the water the entire time. That's what, like,
well, if
when I watched that video, I think that there was two objects, one under the water the entire time, mirroring the one above.
Well, if there was, like, that's, if they seen a horseshoe shaped like formation at the start, Where'd the rest of them go?
Where'd they go?
Where'd they go? Where, some under the water, where'd some above, go? Mirroring image, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I would also like, because the other pilot, you know, reported seeing an actual formation of these craft. So I would like to know where the other ones went. But again, we've talked about other cases in the past where they do have USOs, unidentified submersible objects, where it's not unusual or it's not unprecedented to have craft that dip into the water and just either they're using that as a, you know, a means of conveyance or whatever. Like they're just, that's where they go. They come from there.
We know one person who's studied USOs and would have an intimate knowledge of peregrine falcons because they're abundant in Canada. And that's Ron Pond. I'm surprised Ron Pond, he raises peregrine falcons,
right?
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised that he got sent down there with all his USO experience because Shag Harbor, that was another one.
Shag Harbor. Yeah,
he's probably going down there and he's asking all the people questions. They bring him down there for his expertise.
Yeah, and his questionable Spanish.
Dude, he did dive 400 feet under the sea with no regulator, no mask. So
yeah. Hola, hey, like, I heard you guys saw a craft down here.
Okay, so basically, Mr. Pond, this is my friend Enrique. He doesn't speak any English, so I will translate for you. Go ahead, Enrique. Talk to him.
De acuerdo con las autoridades, el establecimiento no cumplió con las normas establecidas por la ciudad ni el estado.
Okay.
So basically, Mr. Pond, he said it was crazy.
La ciudad cero, el club nocturno, 50 Lounge LLC, ubicado cerca de la Blake Street, después de que encontraran a más de 1,000 personas el sábado pasado por la noche dentro del establecimiento en presunta violación de las varias reglas de la ciudad, así como de las reglas estatales que reglan las comidas y eventos y aire libre.
Sí, he said it's very crazy.
What was crazy, eh? He's talked way more than that. I mean, what else did he say?
He said it was crazy. I'll ask him, Enrique, go ahead, tell me. What do you want me to tell him? Go ahead.
El oficial de construcción Dimturcio declaró que el anterior el incidente ya habla visitado el lugar con la directora de salud pública.
Okay, so first he said it was pretty crazy because then it goes into the water and then he says it's double crazy because it's two.
Yeah, but listen, you're not even translating what I'm saying to him. Do you speak Spanish?
No, why do you think I speak Spanish?
You said you're translating.
Was it because I got a tan? You come up to me, you assume I speak Spanish? Man, that's racist. Why,
we're in Puerto Rico, eh? I thought...
I'm on vacation, man. I'm Canadian.
Oh. Oh, so sorry.
And that's how Ron Pond got canceled.
All right.
It's a tragic tale for a hero of our time.
Tragic tale.
Hey, man. If it happens to Drew Brees, nobody's safe. That's it.
No one's safe.
where were we talking about? USOs?
Here's a question, though. Okay, so like you see this thing falling, and then it kind of reminds me a little bit of the accident that the snowbirds had, where, you know what I mean? Like potentially, what happens if this craft or this USO brother loses control and starts dive bombing towards the fucking water, and then it splits into two because it's damaged? You know what I mean? Like maybe it's broken, and that's why you.
Oh,
see
maybe it's like shelling. It's shelling some. But the other part the other part comes back out of the water. Do you know what I mean? Like it wouldn't. Oh, I'm just using your line. I just realized I said, you know what I mean. I'm not trying to do that anymore.
All right. Hey, what's up?
I'm picking that up through osmosis.
After that Ron Pond skit, I'm going to have to get another beer to finish this podcast. Let's take a quick break and
let's take a beer break.
We'll take a quick beer break and we'll be right back. And we're back.
All right, let's go through the theories of what the officials, air quotes, think this USO or UFO or UAP is.
Okay, well, we alluded to it earlier. So let's start with that. It was just some type of stationary balloon, and the movement was the aircraft going around it.
I mean, I think I had pretty sound logic on that. All right, I think I solved that.
Yeah. Some people have tried to explain it as it was a, yeah, like it was a balloon that was actually stationary, and the movement that you see and, you know, the perceived speed of the object is actually the aircraft moving in what seems to be in its semicircle pattern around the balloon.
Listen, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. It's not Christopher Robin's fucking balloon floating in the wind. You don't have people freaking out about a child's lost balloon clipping at 120 miles per hour, dipping in and out of the water, giving off heat signatures. Like, that is ludicrous. That is some official's legit story is preposterous. Angers me.
After you watch the video,
if Ron Pond heard that, I guarantee you he's not a man of violence, but he slapped the person that told him that.
He'd sock him.
Yeah.
Him a quick jersey.
He gave him the old rock him, sock him for sure.
Grab them with the left, quick jersey, right cross, fight over.
Yeah.
Tucked him in earlier for the
Tucked
night.
Tucked him down.
Tucked his lunch.
Hey, bud.
A balloon. How do they explain the rest of the video? The balloon exploded and popped into two smaller balloons that were inside when it was underwater?
Yeah, that's what they say. They don't know. They don't know how they can explain it.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that you already said is what the experts who studied the video, they said that's why it can't be a balloon, is that the object speed, obviously, too fast. The balloon, even with a prevailing wind, like a tailwind moving that fast, is not going to go, you know, to 120 miles per hour.
Fuck no.
When they tracked it on radar from like what the radar data that they picked up and the infrared camera, you're getting they had identified multiple changes in direction of the object's trajectory. So, you know, balloons, duh, can't do that. Also, you have the temperature information from the actual thermal video, which, you know, I mentioned it before that they had the ambient temperature at the center seemed to be about 105 degrees Fahrenheit, which is actually, you know, with a cooler exterior. So that's not a balloon at all either.
Cannot be. Balloon's stupid.
Dan, what about a bigger balloon?
Stupid.
Even if it were a bigger balloon, it doesn't even, like, again, your point, you made all your good points right there where it's like it goes into the water. Clearly, the object impacts the water and it is, you know, it's going underwater. It's not losing speed. It's not moving, you know, balloons. Again, it's not going to just go underwater and then, you know, pop back out.
It's one of those
100 miles per hour.
One of those new aquatic balloons that have been tested and researched.
Super secret military aquatic balloons.
So that one seems to be easily brushed aside. It just doesn't make a balloon stationary. Come on. Military pilots. Oh, fuck. That doesn't make any sense. Stupid. Next one would be a bird, as we talked about earlier.
So if this were to be a bird.
Needs wings, first of all.
Yeah, it needs wings. And we don't have that. We don't have that motion of the bird. We don't have any type of, it seems to be, it's a single object.
It was glowing color and then disappeared to infrared spectrum. This is some type of fucking Pokemon here.
Hold on. V pattern. How far south do Canadian geese travel? That's all I'm saying.
Canadian geese travel the world, wreaking havoc and terrorizing people wherever they go.
Fucking honking everywhere and hissing.
Hissing and shit.
Horrible creatures.
Right? I wouldn't put it past a Canadian. I wouldn't put this past a Canadian goose.
Okay, well let's change it then to a Canadian goose theory. Can they fly 120 miles an hour?
Even then, all right. If they're
falling in a dive bomb with their little neck, why not? Hold on. Here's a question. What's the terminal velocity of just a falling object? How fast is that?
Like 200. Well, it depends how high in the atmosphere you are.
Terminal velocity.
Because if you were that guy, what was the guy who jumped from the stratosphere or whatever? I want to say Nolan Baumgartner, but I know that's an NHL player. And
yeah, that's can't play for the Canucks.
I think it was Bomb.
It was something like that. The guy jumped from space, and initially he was going like 900 or 800 kilometers an hour or something. By the time he got
about 120 miles per hour.
Yeah, so by 220, 240.
Is it 120?
Unstable belly to earth position terminal velocity is about 200 kilometers per hour or 120 miles per hour.
Buddy, I've cracked the case. This is a fucking Canada goose falling at terminal velocity.
But it was horizontal.
Head down position, terminal speed is 240 to 290 kilometers per hour.
Yeah, but this thing was going horizontal there, exactly. Sherlock.
It's fucking also maneuvering with its wings.
There are three large birds capable of horizontal speeds at 80 miles per hour, and that would be the golden eagle, the gray-headed albatross, and the peregrine falcon. None of those are native to Puerto Rico.
Besides the albatross, I guess the eagle is probably 5 foot wingspan, I would say.
Even then, not native.
Not native.
Listen, and
golden eagle, definitely not. The peregrine falcons are seasonal birds, so you won't find them in Puerto Rico in the wintertime.
Don't ever fucking count out a Canadian goose, pal.
Yeah.
Heard you say golden eagle, typical American.
That's a bald, on the bald eagle. That's bald eagle.
Jamming eagles down our throats. Don't give us any of that.
Yeah.
Don't
set the goose loose, Dan.
You want none of this, pal.
This is a quick segue, but did anyone else see a video recently of a loon killing a bald eagle?
Ugh.
Oh, yeah, the loon. One that stabbed it through the heart? I didn't see the video, I just saw the...
It just jammed him through
the
heart.
Was there an actual video of it?
I seen a video of one. I don't know if it was the one you're thinking of, but yeah.
I just saw an aftermath where it's trying to kill the loon.
The loon dives a couple times, it comes back for a swipe, and the loon just boom, falcon punch right to the chest.
Well, bald eagles are big old wusses. They're scavengers, technically. Right. They're not even.
Anyways,
like, they're not like.
That was a segue.
Like warbirds or anything.
That was a segue. I don't know why that popped in my head. Spell.
I would have been happy if we went to Benjamin Franklin and we made turkeys the official bird of the United States. Because
as a Canadian, the amount of times I've played pond hockey and been terrorized by a fucking bald eagle, zero.
Zero times.
The amount of times I've played pond hockey and been terrorized by a fucking Canadian goose when I shoot an errant puck every fucking time I play.
You shoot your puck, it hits the crossbar, bounces into the flock of geese, and that's it. Game's over.
Pay for
they're
it.
Fucking
they're
fucking hissing
puck.
And shit.
They're
fucking
that shit bitch.
Like, I'm just saying, they don't give a shit.
No, just like Ron Pond, he's going to fucking
puck
jersey you.
That being said, I kid, obviously, about the Canadian goose because the Canadian goose would be fucking wrecked if it hit the water at 120 miles an hour. Any bird would...
Anything that hit the water that fast would be like hitting concrete. You would just liquefy your insides.
This is interesting. Yeah, you'd just be destroyed.
It'd be game
destroyed.
Over.
Destroyed.
Can't be a bird. So, can't be a balloon.
Can't be a bird. That bird is stupid.
The only
one of the next probably more likely of the possibilities is some type of military drone.
Are you talking about like a flying submarine?
A flying swimming drone, also referred to as a flimmer.
Oh, so these exist?
Who named that?
Brutal. United States Navy calls it a flimmer.
Flimmer.
Like, not
so these are real things?
United States Naval Engineers call it a flimmer.
They have these kind of type of drones that can.
How fast can these fucking things go?
When they published this report, like back in 2013, I think, 2016, they said the current model that they actually talked to a United States Naval engineer, and they said that the current model that they were working on, or at least they were able to disclose the information, is that about 68 miles per hour
flying.
Swimming speed hadn't been established yet.
That's what they want us to know.
Listen, I can almost guarantee you this is how those flimmers work. They go cruising. They're like, you've got a guy with a big remote control. He pulls out the antenna way out there. He has it flying at 60. He's like, okay, type for the water test now. And it just crashes in the water. And he goes, lost another one. That's what happens every fucking time.
No, buddy. Yeah, they're hiding a fucking flubber turbo that they got. That's just fucking the shit. That's going 120 miles per hour fucking diving.
A flubber turbo?
Yeah.
Like the green.
Robin Williams
goop.
Made it. For the Navy. You didn't know that?
Okay.
You obviously didn't do enough research for this podcast, Braid. Jesus.
I didn't rewatch Flubber.
Guys on fucking yeah. Too busy on
mistake
pills.
Mistake number
eh?
One.
If you're rewatching Flubber, you went down the wrong rabbit hole.
No, listen, this guy, he didn't do his homework.
Or the right one, depending.
The number one status went to his head. He's addicted to fucking pills now. He openly admitted it. You guys wonder why he's getting skinny? He's got a problem.
Yeah. He's got problems.
Yeah.
He's got a problem.
Started GoFundMe for Braden.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's go back to the drone. So if it can go 68 miles in 2016, I mean, I think the military would always never disclose full version of specs, probably, right?
I mean, they definitely wouldn't want to tell you the full capabilities of whatever is more advanced. You know, they're going to have more advanced drones than the ones that they're going to actually willing to talk about 100%.
Yeah, but
okay, so let's...
That's
fine. We say that military is 10 years ahead or, you know, a decade ahead of current technology, and we look at drones that we have out now. I have yet to see any drone that, like, is going to withstand, fly directly into water, just done.
Well,
that's it.
Well,
end of drone.
It couldn't... If you go with our current drones, most of them are, like, either jet-powered or, like, rotor-powered. And if you were to... Let's take a chopper version, like a quadcopter. If you blasted that baby down into the water, it's going to explode. The rotors aren't going to make it. So you need something so streamlined that could enter the water at 120 miles an hour without losing speed or causing a ripple, travel under the water for whatever distance this video would show, exit the water, enter the water, exit the water, and then somehow split in half with two separate heat signatures. It doesn't make sense.
The thing I find ludicrous about that, about the military drone, is I like it. It's more, I would way rather believe in a military object that has these capabilities, except that we know kind of some of the capabilities of the government with like Predator drones and stuff. And this technology from 2013 seems light years ahead of like the current drones they're using. So you think you'd be like, why would you use a Predator drone when you can use this fucking drone that can just go in and out of water? Like, to me, that seems way better. Maybe it just can't carry missiles and shit.
Well, it's only five.
But like for the recon and stuff.
Maybe they are using it.
It's only 5 feet in the video. So yeah, I guess it doesn't make sense. I don't think I would go as far as to say that I don't think there's any technology that any military has that you could fly 120 miles an hour and submerge at 120 miles an hour.
Yeah, I don't think you could fit like a propulsion system in there. No. Like more like powerful enough to even like push it into the water and then get back out and then whatever. Because even Predator drones and like the Delta Wing drones that they have, those things are fucking huge. Like you think they're small.
The size of a truck.
Like, no, they're like the size of a regular plane. They're fucking huge.
Yeah,
and try crashing it into the water. See what happens. I guarantee it doesn't fly back out. Split into two smaller Predator drones.
No, I 100% believe that they have technology that could fly and submerge, but I bet you the submerged version of, like, the submerged speed would be drastically slower than a...
Yeah, when I watch this video, I think of the Flight of the Navigator. I know somebody posted it on our Facebook thing that always reminded me of that fucking... the movie was, like, they had this craft in it. Like, they had an extraterrestrial craft that could, like, change its shape on the outside.
Right.
Depending on, like, what it needed to do. If it was going to perform, you know, high-speed maneuvers within the atmosphere, it would, like, change into, like, a... Like, it would shift.
More aerodynamic and shit.
Yeah, more aerodynamic kind of thing. But, you know, there was a part where it did go underwater where it's just, like, it just goes underwater, goes in, and it comes back out. Like, I was like, this is Flight of the Navigator. When I was watching this video, I was like, this is Flight of the Navigator shit. This is called Ben Savage. God damn it.
Ben Savage, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Cool. Yeah, put it on the list. All right, let's go. So those are pretty much the main theories. And then the last theory, obviously, some type of extraterrestrial or like secret space force technology that we don't know.
I with this one, like watching it, if I was to, I have to pick any of the objects for my own thing, I think it's some sort of UFO, like recon drone, like not of Earth origin. It's something else. It just doesn't. We have nothing of these of this capability. It's so far ahead of what we can do that it just doesn't make sense that it's anything that we've done. So unless that's a doctored video,
it seems not to be.
Which it seems not to be because you have all these official reports And the only thing I lean towards is, like, you've seen the flying V formation earlier. You see the lights, that these are just recon drones out scanning something. They're flying around the airport because there's a lot of air traffic there. That makes sense that they're kind of like curious as to what the hell is going on. You have one in the water, one in the air. That's what I think was caught on camera that day. I don't, because they're small enough that I'm like, I mean, how many little grays could you jam in a little 5-foot craft?
A lot of gazoos.
Maybe two.
A lot of great gazoos. Right?
I subscribe to that it's an unmanned drone kind of thing.
Yep.
And that's, but not of Earth origin. It's either from another ship, and it's just they're scanning, doing some sort of checking in.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. It seems, because now we have so many accounts of these, like, you have the claims of Bob Lazar, you got those, like, the A-tip videos, like the gimbal, and they all kind of seem to match the description of it, like, how they fly. They don't seem to have, like, a rear propulsion, like a jet engine that seemed to, like, fall through the air. And that would make sense if it's some type of, like, advanced propulsion system that, like, displaces space around you. You could just go from space to atmosphere to water in any order, with seemingly without changing speed or losing, like, velocity. And I feel like it's a small one, so I would agree with Braden that it's I mean, if you're an advanced species, like, and you've come to Earth or whatever the situation is, you've found a wormhole and you're on Earth, you're a tourist, or this is a science experiment for you, you would have drones, and the drones would have the same technology as your craft. You wouldn't have to be in them to experience everything.
One of the other things I came across is, like, people are drawing connections between the location of Puerto Rico, it being on the southern tip of the Bermuda Triangle.
It's also, coincidentally, is the southern tip of the Craig's Triangle.
Oh, interesting point.
So
now you've got double triangle peril going on. Mm. Double triangle weirdness.
Bad news.
So you know weird shit's going on. That's one of the things that people are trying to draw on, is that, there's all kinds of weird stuff, or, you know, reports of strange lights and those things within that, you know, that area between Florida, Bermuda, and Puerto Rico. And there's always been kind of this theory, or there's been, people kind of throwing around the idea that there's underwater extraterrestrial civilizations whether there's some sort of extraterrestrial base or something inside the Bermuda, the Bermuda Triangle, somewhere in the deep parts, and just, you know, either they're trying to keep an eye on us, because if this thing is within the size that they say it is, so 3 to 5 feet, you know, definitely I would say, yeah, it's an unmanned craft for sure. It's got to be some sort of probe. It's got to be some sort of, taking measurements, readings, something. Not sure what exactly, but it's flying out there with the other one. Like they said, it was reported that there was flying in a formation of other craft. So perhaps they kind of split up, they move through the water either way, without any type of impediment. It seems whatsoever, any type of resistance, so it can travel anywhere it wants as fast as it wants. So perfect probes just to kind of move around, whatever they want.
On that point, you brought like, we send out probes that circle planets, right? Like one satellite at a time, very inefficiently. So it would make sense to me that some, a higher civilization that's more advanced than us is sending out probes, like we're sending out satellites, Voyager and stuff, that's taking pictures, except they're doing it on such a faster, more efficient scale than what we're doing currently. And like you said, maybe they have a fleet that comes, they scan a planet, and then boom, off to the next planet, right? And they're just scanning there and sending information back to the homeworld, right? So maybe it's not even, it's like AI drones. It's not any kind of life in it. It's just sending information back. So somewhere in one of the 36 or 37 other advanced civilizations in the Milky Way, is getting reports back being like, hey, some of our drones found another, and that's number 37 advanced civilization we just scanned on the edge of the Milky Way. Right? That's what I think. It would make sense.
I could get on board with that.
Well, it's not a balloon. It's not a bird. It's not a drone, which leads me to believe that it's not exactly a plane. So, you know, I think it's pretty obvious what it is.
Superman.
I mean, technically, you know, he is at times.
He's an alien.
He is an extraterrestrial.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
he is an alien. There you go.
So, I mean, sure.
Quite obvious. Yeah.
I don't know. It says 3 to 5 feet. So if he's flying vertically, how tall is Superman? Like 6 feet, right? He's huge.
Okay. Superboy.
He's a tall dude. Superboy. There we go.
Well, maybe they had the angle wrong and they're off by a couple feet. Like it could be, you know, it could be 7 feet, 8 feet. I don't know.
And that's him meeting up with Aquaman when he goes underwater.
Exactly.
There?
Well, hey,
Superman is 6'3".
I mean, I kind of like my Wonder Twins idea, but hey, whatever.
They have the Bimini Road down there in the Bermuda Triangle. And a lot of people say maybe that Atlantis was there. Maybe Atlantis has always been just an advanced civilization that was capable of living underwater. They've been here the whole time.
That's it. Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Solved.
Case closed.
And you hope you enjoyed the show.
The show.
Anyways, I think that's it for the case. It's pretty cool. There's more. And one final point is there's many other sightings around the area too that we didn't have time to get to today, but maybe in another future Power Hour of UFOs, we'll touch on some other ones or some other good videos. And there's probably hundreds and hundreds of sightings actually along Puerto Rico. So something's there. Who knows?
All right. Let's fire up the randomatron and see what we get this week.
See what we get.
See what we get.
Here we go. Printing, faxing, scanning, emailing.
I'm going to go paperless one of these days.
Mongoose file. Woo! What? I didn't cue the theme song. Why not? Oh, there it goes.
There it goes.
Well, obviously, at the beginning of these things, we know. I'm not talking about myself.
No.
Yeah.
Of course talking not. About a friend of a friend of a friend of mine.
Sometimes not even a friend. Sometimes, just a guy you know.
Sometimes
some guy,
a guy
you heard a story.
I don't even really like that much. A little bit of an asshole, if you know what I mean.
Happened to a friend of a friend of mine.
There you go. Exactly. So this situation takes place in a common area that we talk about quite a bit. Easiest way to describe it would be, you know, like a coastal city in Canada. You know what I mean? Maybe
on the West Coast, maybe not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like if you're thinking about the city and you're trying to picture like Vancouver.
Yeah, like in Vancouver. You know what I mean? So this is in the south, you know, the south area of the city of this town. So we'll say it's like, you know, South Slopes, very comparable to like Maripol.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting, yep. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Yep. So
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Normal day, early afternoon, call comes in, vehicle into pull, nothing suspicious. Turns out we're close to it. Flip the sirens on. Boogie to the call. Get there, and there's this beautiful black Range Rover. And exactly as described, into a pole. And you know what I mean? The odd thing is like it's not a relatively hectic day whatsoever. You know what I mean? There are no track marks. Like you don't see any screech marks from the car. You know, so they obviously doesn't look like he even attempted to apply the brakes before he hit the pole. Front end of this car is absolutely destroyed. And the most bizarre thing is you get there and there's nobody in the car. And like,
what?
that's not uncommon. Like a lot of times we get hit and runs all the time, but it's usually because they've hit somebody else and they leave. They don't just abandon their own car. So you know what I mean? It's a little bit weird. Maybe they stole this vehicle. I don't know. So we're like, I look at my partner. I'm like, well, this is easy. You know what I mean? Car's totaled. Nobody's here, I guess, you know? So we get ready to write this thing up, call for the police. And all of a sudden you just hear this screaming coming from across the street. You know what I mean? You look over it, and this guy that's working at a convenience store that, you know, can describe it kind of like a 7-Eleven, comes darting out towards us, waving his hands. So we're like, okay, you know, let's grab our equipment and get across the highway here and have a look and see what's wrong with this guy. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be surprised if it's related. So we get there and he's like, right this way, right this way. Brings us into the middle of the store. And in between the candy aisle and the chip aisle, there's a guy lying there in a pool of blood. And his buddy's holding him. And they're like, what the fuck, right? So you walk up to him and you're like, well, this obviously has nothing to do with the car accident. Like, what the fuck happened to this guy, right? And you walk up and you're like, what happened? And you're like, and the guy's like, we were just driving down the highway and somebody shot at us while we were in our car. My buddy got hit bad. So I'm like, holy shit.
Oh, fuck.
So get the trauma shears out, shred the guy's clothes and have a look what he's doing. He's got 6 bullet holes in him, 3 in the abdomen, 1 in the shoulder and 1 in the leg. And the other one was kind of like grazed on the side of his head, but it was like he was pretty lucky on the head wound. So the guy's still talking to me. He's alert. Great. We start working on him and his buddy is just like eerily calm. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, I looked at the guy. I'm like, hey, man, are we safe? Like, where the fuck is this guy that shot him? And the guy's sitting there eating a bag of chips. And I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on, man? And he's like,
I like this guy.
And he's like, yeah, man, we're good. We're good. And then so we're great. You know what I mean? We start patching this guy up, throwing a line, start running some TXA. And he's like, whoa, no, wait, he's outside.
What's TXA?
It's a clotting agent. So it's going to help control all those bleeds.
Okay.
Especially helps if you have any internal bleeding or anything like that, which this guy definitely does because he's got multiple bullet holes in his abdomen. Anyways, so the guy's like, whoa, like he's outside. And both me and my partner like look up like instant shit our pants like, oh, my God. And the guy looks at him and he's like, I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, little fuck.
Little fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that guy is a legend.
You know what I mean? Like, not at first, though. I'm like, after, I was like, that's fucking hilarious. But I'm like, there's no way to unshit my pants. My pants have been shit. You know what I mean? Like, this is too late.
That is unbelievable.
Look at that. That's hilarious.
Like, I'm trying to save your fucking buddy here, man. And you know what I mean?
And you're like cracking jokes.
Yeah, and I'm already like, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm pretty used to doing stuff like this, but it's still fucking like, it's
guys
stressful.
Shot in front of you.
And you're fucking making jokes, man. Like, oh, it was pretty funny.
I like this
trying
guy
to
line
the mood.
Guy was a beauty.
Yeah, I like that guy.
I think we could be friends with that guy.
Yeah, he was a beauty. He was. But
all right, we got a theoretic of the week.
I believe we did.
Yeah, we could be friends with the guy. I'm not gonna ride in the car with him.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't let him come to the ambulance with us. I was like, yeah, you wait here.
Fucking dick. Anyways, I think, Andrew, I think you said we had a theory of the week before we started.
Oh, please tell me. Like, I'm going to butcher his fucking name so bad.
Yeah.
Professor McGonagall. Something.
Justice McGonagall.
Yeah.
Or that's the name we've been given.
Yeah.
Justice McGonagall.
Do we got to say why?
Oh, this.
Are we deciding why we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say why. Why is he a theory of the week?
You told us.
Wow. Well, first of all, A, he compared us. He first thing he said is we are the Ninja Turtles of podcasting, which he had me right there. It's the greatest compliment I've ever gotten. And then he puts the fucking cherry on the top when he names me Raphael.
Yeah. Oh, your favorite.
That was it. I was in love with the guy. That was it. That's the most beautiful thing.
Let me tell you something. He read you like a book.
But it's the most beautiful thing anyone's ever told me. That's it. Guy should be the guy should be theater of the fucking decade. That's it.
We'll at the end of the decade, we'll tally them all up and we'll pick theoretic of the decade.
You give Andrew one compliment, you're theoretic of the decade.
Buddy,
he's trying to buy votes right now, is what he's doing.
You call him a Ninja Turtle, buddy, and he will love you forever.
Up until like,
buddy, if you tell us that we're any bad, like any kind of group compared to group, and you tell Andrew he's the bad boy of that group, Andrew's like, oh my
oh,
god.
Shit.
No. If we're Backstreet Boys, I don't want to be AJ. I don't want to be fucking AJ in the Backstreet Boys. But no, dude, up until grade 4, you asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to be fucking Raphael. All
right? What about Vegeta?
I didn't want Dragon Ball Z didn't come in picture till like grade 5 or 6.
Yeah, but I'm saying if he was like, you guys are the DBZ of podcasting, Andrew, you're Vegeta, you'd be like, oh my god, yes, Sebastian.
Can he be?
Hey, you guys are the X-Men of podcasting. Andrew, you're Wolverine. Oh,
I mean, aren't these all obvious though?
Andrew, you're the Beast obvious? Wars of podcasting. You're the
Dinobot.
Fucking mean Raptor Dinobot.
Yeah. That's about right. I get that too.
Like, Andrew's the Scorponok of our Beast Wars.
I mean, if we want to start making lists, let's get in writing. I vote for all those, as long as I'm not Krillin.
Yeah, well.
Well, you've been dubbed Krillin once, so.
I know, by Brayden. By fucking Yajirobe. Okay, yeah. That really doesn't hurt my feelings that bad.
Yajirobe!
Right?
It's so accurate, though.
It's so accurate. all right. What else we do with the NCC? Zell, you going to name some new Patreons or what?
I'm going to right now. Names? Patreons signed up since the last recording of the show are Dylan Crow. You went down, but we're still, you know what? We're going to read your name again. You've been supporting for a while. Travis Wiggs, thanks for supporting at 25 for a while, but just back down to regular. Still supporting. Still love you.
Woo.
Janelle Chamberlain. Bo Henderson. Kyle Luckner, Cody Hatley, Josh Dolan, Emily Owen, BKong171, Carl Yendez, Mika Larson, just intoxicated. Congratulations. Sounds fun.
Oh my God. You know what you need to do next time? We need to play like the Bulls 90s playoff fucking song and then do the introductions like that.
Oh,
that's exactly what we need to
great.
Do for Patreon.
Marcus Martinez.
Yeah.
I like Josh it. Yeah. Ross. Gary Megalodon. Oh,
yeah.
Nope.
Start putting your heights in along with your name.
In your position.
Yeah.
Gary Megalodon weighing in at 14 tons, 57 feet long.
No comment on it. Gary Megalodon, Rod Pond approved, 6 foot tall, Rod Pond.
Might be here for a while.
Rod Pond's only 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
He's probably 6'2". No, he's 5'11".
5'11". Come on, yeah. Same height
he's
as me.
Average,
he's got the same build as me, actually.
No,
average
he
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
No.
But he's
built like his muscles. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he does.
No, but his muscles are 4 times as dense, though. But he looks like me, but 4 times stronger. No.
He's definitely not translucent. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing.
Do you think? How do you think Ron Pond's been alive for so long? Me and him are buddies.
You know what? I would say Ron Pond could look like Zell's dad, though.
Listen, Ron Pond transcends age. All right.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, so do I. I'm 650 years old.
Yeah, but that's because you kill people and drink their blood.
How do you think Ron Bond doesn't?
What else do we normally do at the end of the show?
I'm not finished. I can finish on Gary. I'm trying to finish. You can't fucking finish. The commentary.
Oh, we're still reading patience.
The commentary keeps rolling.
Let's go.
I messed up. It's not Gary Megalodon. It's just Gary Magdon. My bad.
Oh.
Megalodon's cool. Gary Megalodon. Yeah. New name.
Gary Megalodon.
Aves Lee. Oh, that's it. And Andrew Earnhardt. That's it. That's it this week. Thanks for supporting on Patreon. This week, we've released a new Dungeons & Dragons. We have AT Key Confidential coming out. Probably have 4 or 5 bonus episodes this month alone. So get on there. patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast. Check it out. Okay. Anyone else got anything to say? I'm going to read a band and let's end the show.
No. Yeah, let's read the band in the show.
Read the band and the show. Okay, we're going. My band. It's my band again. New song. Brand new song. Released today, baby.
I'm starting to think this is rigged.
Hey, I didn't play my song for like 2 years. I was pretty generous about it, I thought. Anyways, brand new song. This is called What Do You Want? This is a quarantine production. As our actual, we had like a commercial album going that got put on hold. So in the meantime, we took a deep track, reproduced it, recorded it all in my studio, and this is it. For today, it's called What Do You Want? You can find it anywhere songs are found. Band's called Lucky Monkey. Not anything else, you little bitches.
Couple of monkeys.
You all. We love you guys. And as we always say, keep those eyes on the skies.